faces here tonight. I do want to say thank you very much for the very privilege of being here in May. I had a blessed time here with the church and with you folk. Always a blessing to be able to come and be around our grandchildren and our son-in-law and daughter. Always good to be around family. Amen. This is a time of year when family means something. Amen.
Amen.
I'm telling you, you boys will help me out. When I say amen, y'all say amen, okay? That's what y'all up here for, all right? Well, you're not going to pay. Y'all just sit there and be quiet now tonight. We want you to help us a little bit. But I would say I'm going to be brief tonight. But you know, if I said I was going to be brief, I'd be lying to you, okay? And so I don't want to do that. But I will be as brief as I can, okay? I understand that tonight is a Wednesday night, but tomorrow's Thanksgiving, so amen. School shouldn't be going on tomorrow, so I'm going to be mindful of that, and I will take that into consideration. But while y'all were doing your prayer request, I had a thought come to my mind about a prayer request. About a year ago, this coming Christmas, I had a lady come through the back door of our church and come in and around to the right-hand side of our church. And she was met by one of my ladies and said, "I need some help." And Miss Carolyn said, "Well," said Brother Jackie, and she pointed to me and said, "Brother Jackie will be able to help you." And so when I walked down and I met her, and I said, "Ma'am," I said, "if you'll give me just a little bit of time, I'll see if I can help you." And here was her response. She said, "I'm afraid that I'll die and go to hell, and I need to be saved." And she had had one of the worst nights of her life the previous night. She got saved, her husband got saved, and I baptized both of them as husband and wife, and they've gotten in church, and they had two older children. They had one, her name is Cheyenne. Cheyenne's about 13-year-old, and then they had one they called DJ. DJ's about eight or nine-year-old. Not long after they got in church, I don't remember exactly how long ago of being, I'm just going to say back up, say 6 months from now, they come to me and said, "Brother Jackie," said, "God's been good to us. God's blessed us." You know, I believe God wants to bless His children. Amen? And I said, "What are you talking about, Brother Donnie?" And Miss Jill said, "Well," said, "we're going to have a baby. And he's about 40, okay? And she's in her middle to late 30s. And we're going to have a baby." And I thought to myself, "My, my, what a blessing." And about 8 weeks later, they come back and said, "Well, Brother Jackie, we sure enough having a blessing. It's not one heartbeat, but there's two heartbeats. And so now they're having a set of twins."
Oh, brother.
That's what I thought, bro. Brothers, that many women in the house? I said, "Well, I don't know." I said, "I feel like Miss Jill will make it fine, but Brother Donnie, he won't never make it through it. This will be the death of him." But anyway, they were so just excited. Every time you saw them, they just had a big smile on their face and excited about what God was doing for them. And every time I would talk to them about these babies, they'd say, "Well, we're just trusting God." You know, the Bible says a just shall live by faith. You know what that means? We just trust God. And along the way, this was the theme along this with these babies. Back around the first of the month, she started having some health problems, and they put her in the bed and put her in the hospital, and told her she'd have to stay in the hospital for the duration of her pregnancy, and the baby wasn't due till about the 10th day of December. And this was the 1st of November. And so they put her in the hospital. She was there in the hospital just a couple of days. And they said, "No, we cannot wait till then. We're going to have to take the babies early." Now this is around 6 weeks premature. They went in and they took these babies. And they took these babies, Caesarean, and they took those babies and laid them up on that mama. And they looked at those babies and they said, the mama asked, the doctor said, how are the babies? And his response was, they're fine. Said, nothing's wrong, they're fine. And that was just in a few moments of time. And as they took those babies back to clean them up, now, I was in the little side room from the nursery where they put the babies. And that daddy was standing there beside me, and he was looking in that window and just a big smile on his face. Oh, you got a set of twin girls, Caitlin and Chloe. And Caitlin weighed just a few ounces over 4 pounds, and Chloe weighed just a few ounces over 3 pounds. And I'm talking about just little infants like this. All of a sudden, that doctor came back in that room where we were at. And he said, there's a problem. He said, they're having trouble breathing. And all of a sudden, here's a grown man, almost as big as I am, just melted like butter around my ankles. And I thought to myself, I said, oh my God. I've lost these twins. I've lost this family. That all I've heard out of them is we're just trusting God. And all of a sudden, as he was there on his knees around my ankle, and I had my hands on his shoulders, and all of a sudden he picked himself up, and he straightened himself up, and he wiped the tears out of his eyes, and he said, Brother Jackie, you have preached, we must live by faith, and we have trusted God with these babies, and we're not stopping now.
Amen.
And they loaded those babies up in a helicopter, and they flew them to Little Rock, Arkansas. That's one of the best children's hospitals in the United States, one of them. They had oxygen and lines on these babies, and they were in a trauma situation is what they were in. They go get up in the air, and they take off toward Little Rock, and they are in the air for just a little while, and all of a sudden, there's a phone call comes back from the choppers. Said, we don't know what's happened. But all of a sudden, these babies don't need no oxygen. All of a sudden, the blood pressure is exactly where it's supposed to be. Their heart rate's exactly where it's supposed to be. Their oxygen level's exactly where it's supposed to be. Where they thought that their world was coming undone. And they went to Little Rock and met those babies, and they got to come home last Thursday evening, and they're going to spend Thanksgiving together as a family. And I'm telling you, I told you that story tonight to tell you this. Don't ever take for granted your prayers that you're praying. Because we must live by faith. Amen. And the only way we can pray and believe God's going to answer them is by faith.
Amen.
If you'll get on your knees, be sincere with God, I promise you tonight, this time next year, you'll be able to raise your hand and say, oh, how good God's been to us.
Amen. Amen.
Wouldn't you agree with me tonight that God's been good to us?
Sure.
Man, I tell you what, I get beside myself when I think about how good God's been to me. And all the blessings that He has allowed me to have. I was thinking back just Sunday morning. We had a service. Our Thanksgiving service. And I preached Sunday morning. And we had a time of fellowship after church. Instead of going home, we just went back to the auditorium. And what we had was we just had a service of thanks. And people all over the auditorium started standing and giving thanks to God of the blessings of God. And God's blessed them with that this past year. Now, my face is going to be strange to you, and your face is going to be strange to me to some degree. But I tell you one thing, none of us are strange to God.
Amen.
If you're His child, He wants to bless you.
Sure.
And I promise you that. When I thought about the message for tonight, I want to preach tonight from Psalms 103, please. Psalms 103. Psalms 103 is a series of songs, so to speak, of praise. They started in Psalms 91, and they've moved themselves through Psalms 103. Along the way, in these psalms and this song, these songs, so to speak, you'll find in them they are mountaintop experiences and they're very deep valley experiences. You'll find here in this Psalm 103, you'll find that David is possibly an older man now. And the reason I say that is because of the language that's being used in these verses of Scripture. You'll find that he talks about the agony, so to speak. You can hear it in his voice. The consequences of sin that was in his life. But not only do you realize the consequences of the sin in his life, but you also find how gracious God is to David. And how David experiences the forgiveness of God. And how he experienced the very grace of God in his life. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. I wish I could stand before you tonight and tell you that your Christian experience is going to be on the mountaintop for the rest of your life. But that would not be true tonight, and I would not be telling you the truth. Because it is a series of peaks and valleys is what it amounts to. And I want you to understand the reason why. I know there's been times when I have wondered, when I've been as low as a snake's belly in a wagon rut, that I couldn't figure out which way out. There's times when I've been down that way and I've said, God, why is it that I'm this far down in my life? And then all of a sudden, through a process of time, I see the very grace of God go to working in my life. And all of a sudden, from the very lowest of low, I'm on the very mountaintop peaks and praising God for what I've been through down there in the valley. Your faith is not worth nothing if it cannot be tested. And so you need to realize that when we're in the valleys, God's testing our faith. Amen. And God's being gracious to us is what He's doing. And so I want you to understand tonight as we think about this psalm in Psalm 103, I want to read just a few verses. And I want to give you the title to a message and give you about three thoughts that I got on my mind. Look in Psalms 103, starting in the very first verse. The Bible says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel." Verse number 8, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy." Aren't you glad that God has an extra supply of mercy for us? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful tonight for the very privilege of standing behind this pulpit one more time. I want to say thank you for the work that you've done here. Thank you for the use that you've used this pastor and this preacher. Thank you for these people that have been faithful to come. And I pray, Father, tonight as we have met together, we'll stop and think about how good you've been to us this year. Father, help us to realize, God, without being faithful to you, we'd miss the blessings of God. So God, help us tonight to realize that your grace and your mercy is plenteous toward us. And so Lord, please help us to have ears to hear tonight. God, give us hearts to receive tonight the things of God that you have for us tonight. Now I pray, Father, for every request made mention tonight. God, would you please just have your way in every one of them. And God, we will expect to hear from home. We'll expect how you've answered these prayers. We thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring for us. Thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As I thought about this message tonight, I want to bring this thought to your mind. The believer's song of thanksgiving tonight. There's three things I want you to notice here tonight. First of all, there is a request for thanksgiving. Look in verse number 1, if you will please with me. The Bible says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." Now here's what's happening with David at this time. Obviously he has gotten older in his years, and obviously there's been some things that's passed on in his life, and he's experienced a few things along the way. Can I remind you of something tonight? If we're not careful, we allow ourselves to get caught in a rut. We allow ourselves to get in this rut of an old ho-hum way of serving God. Here we find that the Holy Ghost of God has given us the idea that David is saying that there's something needs to be stirred back up in his own life here. You'll find the request being made that possibly David has gotten a little bit cold on God or gotten a little bit indifferent on God. Can I just remind you of something tonight? You're not blessed tonight because you live in America. You're not blessed tonight because you're an American. You're not blessed tonight because you're white or because you're black. You're not blessed tonight because you're male or you're female. I tell you why you're blessed tonight. You're blessed by the grace of God and the grace of God only. Say amen. Isn't that right, boys? That's exactly right. We're blessed by the Almighty God Himself. And David says there's a request made here that something needs to be stirred up on the inside again. You stop and think about how God's blessed you this year.
Amen.
Think about where you could be right now.
Yeah.
What could be going on in your life. I'm telling you something tonight. The devil right outside those doors are just waiting to bring chaos to your life. But the Bible says in verse number 8 that God is plenteous in mercy.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Isn't that right, boys?
Amen.
That's right. So when I think about that request of thanksgiving, when we sit down tomorrow and we think about all that's stretched out in front of us, we think about the food that we're going to take and all of that. Hey, listen, that's all fine and dandy. But you know what I'm thankful of more than anything? That I can pillow my head tonight and have peace in my heart, knowing if I don't draw another breath come sunrise in the morning, heaven's my home. I don't have to worry about that, amen. I ought to be thankful tonight because I've been saved by the grace of God. That's what I ought to be thankful for. I'm telling you. There's a request here that David has given us that the thoughts of salvation ought to be stirred up. He said, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul." The emphasis is on the fact that we ought to turn our eyes to heaven and say, "Thank you, thank you, thank you for what you've done for me." You know what we do as America tonight? We take that for granted. Amen.
That's right.
We take that for granted. I'm reminded how good God's been to me every time I sit myself down at a dinner table or lunch table or breakfast table. You looking at an old boy that come up and didn't have... Listen, there was times where we didn't know where the next meal was coming from. That we lived in houses where you counted the chickens to the floor. You probably have heard of that, but you're looking at somebody's experienced that. We could count the chickens through the floor. Listen, in the wintertime when it snowed, we knocked the snow off the bed covers. You'd lay in your bed at night and count the stars out through the roof. We carried water from a spring about a quarter mile down the road down there just to make sure that we had water. Hey, listen, when we took a bath, you know what we did? We slid a number 2 wash tub underneath the drip of the house. And we prayed when it rained that God would fill it up. And then we would draw straws. There were 7 of us. And we'd draw straws and see which one took the bath first. Because you definitely wanted the first one. If you got the last one, you'd be just as well off to not even took a bath at all. There was times that I lived when there wasn't food in the cabinet. There wasn't lights on as we have now. There was times when I slept on the corn shuck mattress. I'm telling you today that God's been good to me tonight.
Amen.
God's given me a good wife. God's given me a good home. God's given me good children. God's given me grandchildren that sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." You don't know what that means to me tonight. I'm telling you, I thank God for the blessings every day. And I want that to keep that soul stirred inside of me. That all I want to do is say, "Bless the Lord, oh, my soul," tonight.
Amen.
You go to bed tonight, you need to think about what's being said.
Amen.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. You can bless it. Listen, anybody can talk the talk. But it's got to come from here to walk the walk.
Right.
Hey, when it's good, you can sing, praise be unto God. But buddy, when there ain't nothing there, see what kind of song you got in your mouth then. When tragic strikes, see what you got. When that man melted down my legs on his knees and started weeping and crying, all of a sudden I'm thinking, God, where are you at? And all of a sudden I seen the grace of God just stand that man up and wipe the tears out of his eyes and say, Brother Jackie, we've trusted him by faith and he's going to take care of us. He's going to take care of those babies because he gave them to us. Thanks be unto God. All that's within me. You know what their most precious thought is right now? We can't wait to bring them to church.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We can't wait. You find, in verse number 1, you find that request for thanksgiving. In verse 2, there's a requirement of thanksgiving. Look in verse number 2. The Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Look at that next phrase. Forget and forget not all of his benefits. The requirement for thanksgiving is this. David has given us the idea that there is a danger of us forgetting. Let me go back for just a few minutes. We are forgetful people. Very easy for us when it's easy to forget where the food's coming from. Amen? I'm telling you the truth tonight that we forget where our blessings come from. And here he's given us the idea that we're forgetting the benefits of God. Now, I just want to remind you of something. Money can't buy what he's got for you.
Amen.
Amen. Money cannot start to purchase what he's already created in you. The benefits that we have of being saved tonight. Folks, I'm telling you tonight, if this was all it was, I still wouldn't trade my life today for anything else. Because I have peace. Because I have comfort, because I have assurance tonight that I have a Heavenly Father that loves me and He's taking care of me tonight. When I think about this request here of thanksgiving, I think about this forgetting. The word forget refers to a lapse of memory that can cause one to wonder. Cause us to wander away from where the benefits come from. The old saying, there's no place like home, has a whole lot of meaning to it. Will you not agree with that?
That's right.
You don't miss home till you're away from home.
Right.
Back years ago when I was a kid, talking about carrying water to drink from an old spring down the hillside there, you never was thirsty until the water bucket was dry. Amen. I went down there to the creek and parted the leaves back and parted back whatever it was and just stuck my head down just to drink water. You don't miss the blessings until they're gone.
Right.
And we have a tendency tonight to forget about what God's doing with us. I want you to understand something tonight, that all of us, according to the Word of God, we all have a ministry. We all have a gift that God's given us. And I promise you tonight that this body of believers has been put together here as Faith Baptist Church has not been put together without a design. God's got a perfect design for this church. And you need to understand something tonight, that if we're not careful, we'll forget the benefits and we'll go to wandering away from what God's called us to do.
Yeah.
Sure. Let me say something to you mamas and daddies. It's your responsibility to raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know what, it's real easy when boys and girls are small. But you wait till they get to that age of playing baseball and football and basketball. And then all of a sudden Wednesday nights don't get important. Oh, they got ball practice and they got ball games. They need to be at the ball. No, they need to be in the house of God.
Amen.
I never will forget when Kevin Eugene was, that's our boy, when he was smaller. He had been to Christian college, Christian school. Wendy Marie had graduated from Christian school. And Kevin came. He said, Daddy, he says, I want to go to public school system. I want to go to public school in his ninth grade year. And the reason it was is the baseball coach had put pressure on him. He had seen Kevin playing baseball through the summer months, and they needed him to play ball for them. The coach come to me and said, but Brother Jackie said, I promise you, we will acknowledge the fact that y'all go to church. I told him one time, I said, listen, we won't have no practicing on Wednesday night. Not with Kevin. Y'all can have if you want to. And sure enough, it wasn't but a month later, they scheduled practice. And I told Kevin, I said, you go to practice. But I said, I promise you, I said, about 6:30, we're coming by to get you. And we did. Coach got fighting mad about it. And I told him, I said, let me tell you something. I said, it's more important for him to be in the house of God than it is to be on a ball field. We have an awesome responsibility that's been given to us as parents. It's to raise our children like they should be. And if we're not careful, the older those children get, the more it'll cause us to wander away from the things that God has for us. I know a family right now, as good a family as I've ever seen. When their boys were smaller and they were in elementary school, they were at church every time the doors were open. And now they won't even show up at the house of God. And when you go and knock on their door and you visit with them, and here's their excuse. Oh, our kids are just tied up in everything. My problem with that is this. Have they been saved by the grace of God?
Right.
You need to understand something tonight. The requirement for Thanksgiving is to realize what the benefits of God is. And I'm so afraid, brother. We've forgotten the benefits.
True.
But I'm telling you tonight, I can pillow my head and know heaven's my home tonight. And that's one of the greatest benefits you'll ever have.
Yes, sir.
Listen, there ought not be a mama or a daddy or a grandma or a grandpa sitting here tonight. But before you pillow your head tonight, that you're not on your knees and saying, God, take care of my kids. God, take care of my grandkids. God, you know the needs of our church. You understand what I'm saying? If we're going to have a song of thanksgiving, there's some requirements. Amen? One requirement is to stir up what God's done for us.
Right.
There is a request there, and that request is don't forget, because if you do, you'll find yourself wandering away from God. And can I get, let me say, I want to add this right here. I believe with all of my heart that David, in his lifetime, and you need to understand, David was anointed king of Israel.
Yeah.
He was chosen of God. And not until he became king do we find or we experience his wandering away from God. All the way through his life, you find David up and down and up and down. But the older he gets, the more understanding of the benefits of God he realizes. A lot of times, folks, it's not until we get a little gray in our hair and a little age on our hearts before we realize how good God's been to us.
Good.
A requirement for Thanksgiving. I want to give you this thought, and I'm going to be through. There's some reasons for Thanksgiving. I want you to look with me. You have your Bibles. I want you to look here. David identifies about 8 spiritual reasons why we ought to be thankful tonight. Look in verse number 3, first part of verse number 3. He said, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Huh? Aren't you thankful that God forgave us?
Amen.
I'm just glad I don't get what I deserve tonight. You know why? I know who I am. And I know what I've done. I've had people come up to me and say, Brother Jackie, just tell me a little bit about some of the things that you've done. I said, man, I can't tell you that. I said, God's done forgot them. And there's no need me bringing them up anymore. There's forgiveness. Well, it'll be one of the greatest reasons for us to be thankful tonight. Let me go on down. Verse number 3, the latter part of that. It says, who healeth all thy disease. Let me say this to you tonight. And don't look at me strange tonight. You're looking at a preacher that believes in divine healing. Yeah. Not healing in these hands, but healing in his hands.
Amen.
Nothing's impossible with him. Now I think about those two little old twins that it seemed like that this was the end for them, and then all of a sudden, halfway to Little Rock, they're pulling the tubes off, the heartbeat's right, the blood pressure's right, the oxygen level's right, and all of a sudden, word comes back. They're fine. And I'm telling you, it's all because we have a Father that loves us and has the power to heal beyond what we think.
Amen.
Telling you tonight.
Yes, sir.
I love a doctor when he'll say that I'm limited to what I can do, but I know somebody who ain't limited.
That's right.
He says he has healing. And I'm glad of that. Amen.
Yes, me too.
Oh, my stars. I've seen God do things. It's nothing but just miracles. That's all it is. Let me go on down. Verse number 4. The Bible says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. David said, your life is on a path to destruction. And somebody felt sorry for you, loved you, and redeemed you. That word redeemed means that you've been bought back. There's been a price been paid for you. It's the idea that somebody has went to the slave market and not only has bought a slave, but has turned a slave loose when he redeemed you by the grace of God. Amen. I'm glad I'm redeemed tonight. Amen. I'm glad I don't have to stand before God in my own self. I can stand before God clothed in His righteousness because I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb tonight. And that alone is something to be thankful for. I'm not going to have to give an account for myself. I give it through the Lord Jesus Christ. Latter part of verse number 4. The Bible says, who knoweth, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. I'm just glad for God's grace tonight. Amen. You know what I'm glad for with dealing with God's grace? I like that word loving kindness. You know what that gives me the idea? It gives me the idea that He's long-suffering with us.
Sure.
Huh? Or in other words, we experience His loving kindness day after day after day after day. Brother Jackie, is it ever going to run out? Oh, no. It can't run out.
Amen.
There's new mercies every day of our life. It can't run out. Let me go on down. Verse number 6, the Bible says, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. I'm glad that I have an intercessor. Glad to have somebody standing in my place tonight. Whatever I sin, and all of us are guilty of that. But when God looks down, and the evidence of my sin is as it's being brought into that fashion, you know what happens? The Lord Jesus says, whoa, hang on. He's one of mine.
Amen.
I'm standing in His place tonight. Oh, don't worry about what He's done. Just look at me. I'm the one that you pass. Don't worry about Him. I'm His intercessor tonight. And I'm so thankful tonight. I've got somebody pleading my case with God. We'd be in trouble tonight, would we not?
Right.
I'm telling you tonight, we have a lot to be thankful for.
Yes,
verse number 7. Gives us the idea that we're to be thankful for God's revelation that's been given to us. He says He made known His ways unto Moses. But also He says His acts unto the children of Israel. And you know what that tells me? David's saying this. He's telling us that we can know who God is. Aren't you glad tonight you serve a living God? Aren't you glad tonight you serve a God that gives us His Word and testifies it by this Word by the Holy Ghost of God that we have living inside of us? And we can say this is the truth tonight because that is the intercession that we're receiving from God when He's redeemed us by the grace of God. We know that through the revelation of God that we're redeemed, we've been interceding for. All this comes from God through revelation of the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Look over in verse number 19. The Lord hath prepared His throne in heaven, and His kingdom ruleth over all. I'm thankful tonight for God's sovereignty. I got up this morning knowing in my heart that the same God I got up trusting this morning was the same God I was trusting yesterday morning. It'll be the same God I'll trust in the morning.
Amen.
He's not ever going to change. His promises endure forever is what it amounts to.
Amen.
And I'm glad tonight that I don't have to wonder whether when I get through this walk of life, that when I stand before God, that somewhere along the way, He changed His mind and He didn't let me know. I'm telling you, when He saved me, He sealed me, and He gave me a home in glory, and the sovereignty of God tells me that's never going to change tonight.
Amen.
We ought to be thankful for the sovereignty of God. I've got a little poem I want to read to you. And I'm going to let Mark give an invitation tonight. Brother, I want you to, you know these folks and you know what needs to be said. This poem I ran across not too long ago, it says, thank you, God. It says, thank you, God, for sky so blue, for sunshine warm, for each day new. For mountains high and oceans deep, for joyful play and restful sleep. For quiet nights and busy days, a touch of love. A word of praise. For friends so true who share our years through joy and sorrow and smiles and tears. For winter's white and summer's green and all the lovely months between. For distant moon and twinkling stars who make us see just how small we are. For nurturing sun and gentle rain on a thirsty land and fields of grain. For farmers' toil on fertile land with harvest ripe and fruitful yield. For sunsets red and golden dawn, for songs of birds that start each morn. Each day a miracle anew, for all this, God, I'm thanking you. I wonder this morning when you got up, did you say, Lord, thank you for another day that you've given us? A song of thanksgiving of the believer. I don't know about you, but it might be just what this church needs tonight is to get around these old altars right here and say, Lord, thank you for this little spot that you've given us to get out of the world front end. Thank you for the preacher that you've given us to preach the truth of the Word of God. Thank you that we can be a light that shines out of darkness into a world that needs the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe tonight would be a good opportunity for you to get right here and just get along with God. Courtney Faith, come back to the piano, please. Mark, you come. And I want you to give an invitation, please.